saved you. It was the blood that cleansed you. It's the blood that has let us all be here this morning, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? Let's just bow our heads a moment this morning and we thank God. Merciful God and gracious Savior, Lord, we thank you this morning that we can sing this song. I know it was the blood. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this morning and we say we're glad it was the blood.
Amen.
Lord, nothing else could redeem us but your blood, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you this morning that your blood shall never lose its power, Lord. Lord, your blood endures forever, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are a great redeemer. We thank you this morning that you are a healer. We thank you this morning that you are a deliverer. We thank you this morning that you are coming soon, Lord, to redeem your people, Lord, to take us home to be with you in glory, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning that you'll move upon our loved ones at this time, Lord. You'll awaken them, Lord. You'll bring them out of the sleep that the devil would want to put upon them. That you would open their eyes, Lord, that let them see that the blood lays there waiting for them. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning that you are a good God and beside you there's none other.
Amen.
We thank you this morning that you're a great God, that you are a deliverer, Lord. We thank you this morning and give you praise, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that I'd step aside, Lord. Let all my words fall to the ground, for they mean nothing. But Lord, let every word from your book this morning, let every word that's inspired from you this morning, Lord, let it do your people good at this time, Lord. Help us, Lord, at this time, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll take over now, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll heal, save, and deliver this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John chapter 10, and I'll read one verse and then you may have your seats of a few more verses. This morning I want to talk about the compassion of our shepherd.
Amen.
The compassion of our shepherd. He is a wonderful Savior and he is a wonderful shepherd. All through the Bible it talks about him being a good shepherd, a great shepherd, the chief shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Everywhere he shepherds his people, he helps them and leads them. John chapter 10, we'll read verses 11 first of all here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You may have your seats this morning. I am. Isn't that wonderful? What did he say to Moses? I am sent you. And Jesus speaks here again, the same authority, the same power source, the same one. I am the good shepherd. I am is the good shepherd. And he was the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And he will always be the good shepherd. You know, I was inspired to speak about this morning through working with sheep. You know, there's a man said to me, take a run on that ground. I says, that'll do well, it'll save the grass before they start lambing. I put them onto the ground and they done real well. They stayed in it, brilliant. I had put a lactic fence around it, everything was going rosy. Then we put a new sheep in with the other sheep. The next day I come, the new sheep, it was out through the fence, stand looking at the rest of them. And then a day or two later, it's like the wee boy went to school with accounting. The teacher said, did he know anything about counting? He says he did. She says, well, if you had five sheep in the field and one broke out of many, would you have? He says, none, miss. He says, goodness me, I've learnt you nothing. She says, if you had four sheep in the field and one broke out of many, would you have? She said, none, miss. She says, Jimmy, you're not very good at your counting. You don't know very much about Ma. He says, you don't know very much about sheep. But I want to say, well, they went through this rigmarole anyway, but... You know, you have to have patience. It's a great job for teaching you patience. Even any occupation, if you start to work at machinery, if you do anything at all, you have to have patience. Colin, you know what I'm talking about. When you ring a bolt off on an engine at night, and you thought that was you done for the night, and the last bolt you tighten breaks the head off it, you have to have patience. Because when you lose your cool, you don't get the job done. So you have to step back. But all through the Bible we see here, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. The good shepherd has to have patience. Because if you went out and lost your head, which you could easily do, and went into the field roaring and shouting and banging and thumping. You would never get the sheep geared up because they'd just scatter all over the place, unless you had a good dog to give them a good run. But if you're working with no dog, you have to have patience. And the sheep have to follow you. We'll read later on here what Jesus says. The sheep, his sheep hear his voice.
Amen. Amen.
Now the actual sheep that you work with, they know your voice. They get to know you. Like my dad, he said one time, he seen him down in the yard and the sheep was in the field near the yard and they never made no noise. But when I drove in with my sheep, they all started bawling. They knew that he was coming. They thought there was a big charge of meal or something coming. Or something nice coming, a big bag of sweets for them. You see, but what I want to say is, I gathered all these sheep up and I brought them home. And this is the thing that spoke to me. I brought the sheep all home and I put them in a wee field that was well fenced. And I says, right, I'll have a bit of peace. And I put them in a bale of silage. I says, I'm going to have to start feeding you now. Well, that's it. So come home the next day, all was rosy. This lasted for about 2 days. Then I come home one night, no sheep nowhere. Walked the fields, walked here, walked there. No sign of nothing. Well, I turned around, I got back into the jeep and I says, I wonder did they go the whole road up the road. Now, to go up the road, they have to go up a long lane. They have to go through about 3 or 4 fields. One of them's a 10-acre field. The other one's maybe, I don't know, 8 acres. An awful lot of fields to go through. Well, I went away up the road and went through every field that they were allowed to stay in. There weren't any of them. But the field that they weren't meant to be in, the neighbour's field, they were in it. So anyway, I says, well, I'll go back down the road again. And I got a drop of meal and I come up and I gave them a shout and they all geared up. Now, only for them being handy to work with, that would be enough to break their nerve. But I gave them a shout and they heard me and they all geared up. And I walked them back through all the fields again, brought them home, put them into the field again. I found the problem, there was a wee gate that fell off. So I says, that's it. Put the gate, tied the gate, fixed the gate, everything was good. Next day, come home from work. I was actually coming by the yard that day for a hot stop to get something, and I come by and I says, look at that there. There's them dirt has broke out again. They were back in the field again. They had to walk the whole road up, and the thing about it was, when they were following me down the lane, they were coming with their tongues out by the way they couldn't walk that distance. But they were able to break that far. So I brought them all back again. But the thing that spoke to me was, when I was walking up the lane, I looked around and I says, look at that there. There was a field. If you want to pick a field of grass, the best field of grass about the place, and the gate was lying open, and they walked right past it. They walked through 2 fields of great grass and went into a field. There was no better grass than the field that they went into. And that's the thing that spoke to me. You know, sometimes we're going about searching, we're looking, we're hunting, and we walk by was for us. We walk by the very field of grass. They walked by the very thing that was there for them. And they went as far as they could go away from the yard. As far as they could get from the sheepfold, as it were. That's what we're like. Sometimes, you know, like Jesus said, you know, about how they were scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Unless there's something to keep us in line, we're like them. We'll run off this road, we'll go that road, we'll go this road and go some other road. But if we settle ourselves and look, there it is in front of you. The prize. There's healing ability there.
Amen.
There is deliverance there. Everything is there. Right in front of our eyes. And I said to myself, there it is, look at that. They walked by everything. There was bad fences. They could have walked through them dead easy, but the gate laying open really crowned them. They walked as far as they could go. But eventually I got them curtailed and put them in and fenced them in. But I had to keep them in. You couldn't just leave it open for they'd head off again. And we're the same. Unless the Holy Ghost was working over us, unless Christ was working over us, that's why people say, if I could see it, I could never keep it. And that is true. We can't keep it. We can't do it. But he'll do it. He'll keep you. He'll watch over you. He has compassion upon you. That's what this message this morning is. The compassion of our shepherd.
Amen.
He doesn't lose his temper with us. He doesn't say, there's a bunch of darkness that we're broke out today again. And lost the head and go off into a rage. No. He has compassion upon us. And he brings us back into the sheepfold. We'll read here also here in John chapter We'll read chapter 4. We'll go back on ourselves here. Chapter 10, verses 4. And this is Jesus speaking about this. He says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful the day that you recognized his voice?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful the day that you heard his voice and you knew it was a good voice?
Amen.
You maybe heard a lot of different voices, but when you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd,
amen,
why, it's a different voice than any other voice. It will not take you astray. It will not lead you in the wrong path, but it will lead you in the path of righteousness.
Amen.
It will put a new nature within you. When that voice speaks to you, it will do you good.
Amen.
It won't do you harm. It will help you.
Amen.
He says here, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep," he talks about here when he went in to this place and he divided out the sheep from the sheepfold, he says, "And to him the potter openeth the sheep, hear his voice."
Amen.
"And he calleth them by name."
Glory.
He calls them. He knows them all.
Amen.
You know, I watched a program one time about a man, and he kept, I don't know where, maybe some people know a bit about sheep, but he kept horned sheep. And have you ever seen a field of horned sheep? To the untrained eye, they all look the same. You can get black-faced ones with horns. You can get, these ones were called Swaledales. They're a famous breed of sheep in England. And this man had a big pen full of Swaledale sheep. And the reporter was there and she says, "Do you know all the sheep?" He says, "I know them all." He says, "I know them by looking at them." It's like my dad talked about the wheat man McGarry's. They could go in and look at the field of New Year there, and he's there and somebody else is there. But they knew them by looking at them. But your man, your woman says, "But I could pick out any random sheep and take an ear number and you'll know the sheep. You'll pick the sheep." He says, "You let me see the sheep's face one time and I'll turn my back and you hide it among the rest of them and I'll find the sheep that you showed me." She says, "Right, that'll do." Now, this boy wasn't working with two or three sheep. It may be 100 sheep in the yard, maybe 200, a big yard full of sheep. And she went down and just picked one at random, read the ear tag, showed him the sheep like this here, but he couldn't see the ear tag. And then he turned his back and she hid the sheep. And he went out and he walked about through and he looked and he just went over, there it is, took it out, read the ear number, that was it. He knows his sheep.
That's right.
Now that's just the natural.
Amen.
Now how much greater is the authority that we're walking with? He knows you this morning.
Amen.
Like the hymn says, "He knows my name.
Right.
I have a Father."
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
And it's not what people call the Father. People call a man Holy Father.
Right.
Nothing holy about him.
That's right.
Nothing holy about any man on this earth.
Amen.
Flesh and blood.
That's it.
Decay, death follows him.
That's right.
But this one here is holy. He is the Good Shepherd.
Glory.
He's the one that David talked about. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Amen.
He has compassion upon his sheep. He has compassion. This shepherd is a great compassionate shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, you don't want when he's leading you. You may think the boys say the grass looks greener than the other say, but it's not. It may look good. But if you've got the Good Shepherd with you, what you've got is good.
Amen.
Appreciate what you've got.
Amen.
Hold on to what you've got.
Amen.
And if you pray, God can give you more.
Amen.
If you ask him, he'll give you more.
Amen.
He's always willing to give. He's not going to take away from you. He's not going to remove from you anything that's good. He may take away things that aren't good. You may think, "I need this, I need that." But God knows what you need.
Yes.
He knows what we've got need of. He is the compassionate shepherd.
Amen.
We see here also in verses, if we go back to verse 10 of John chapter 10. We read that. John chapter 10 and verses 10. And we'll read on down to 14 here. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd."
Amen.
"The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who owns the sheep, or not saith, the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep are known of mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah! You see, the other system, now I don't know whether it's right or not, but I've heard a lot of people saying in the Catholic Church, when they give you the last rites, he tells you it's between you and God now. He runs. The boy that was the shepherd all along, he told you, pray to Mary, use your beads, do penance, take the fake God, take the Eucharist. He has the power to do everything, but when you're dying, it's up to you and God now, boy. Good luck to you, mate, as they say here. He leave you with it. But the good shepherd doesn't do that. The good shepherd, he will die for you. He says, I lay my life down for the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, what does he do? What did David do? He said there was a bear coming. He went out and smote him and killed him. He had no fear of him at all. He was anointed of God. When the lion came in, what did he do? Oh, it's a lion, I couldn't handle that. He was but a man, but God was with him. He went out and smote him and chased him. And he come to the Philistine, the big giant come up. What did he do? He didn't run. He was still being a shepherd, but this time he was shepherding the people. He went out and he killed him. Because he was anointed of God.
Amen.
God can give you supernatural ability.
Amen.
He can give you supernatural power and authority.
Amen.
You know, if you look at it in your natural mind, you can do nothing. But the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen.
I know, remember, my dad told me a story one time about my granddad was changing a wheel in the car. And he put his hands in and the jack slipped and the car fell on the back of his hands. And I don't know what age he was. I think he said he was maybe 14 or 15. He wasn't that old at the time anyway. But when it happened, he run for it and he lifted the car off him. And he got his hands out. And he was sort of all worked up because he was caught. Like, he knew he was hurt and there was nobody else there. And he thought to himself a day or two later, he says, I lifted that car. And he went back a day or two later and he couldn't move the car. But you see, in that moment in time, what I am saying to you is God can put authority and ability on his people. What did it say when they were going up? It says, was it Saul? It says he was changed into a new man. God can change you. The Word of God says, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. There's transforming power available in God's Word. He says, a lot of, and in this verse he keeps saying, I am the good shepherd.
Right.
His compassion for you, his love for you.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Behold what manner of love,
yes,
God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He gives us this ability. Verses 15 he says, we'll read on down here, verses 18. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? When you think about it, God, the very creator of the heavens and the earth, he came down and took on the form of a man. He took on that form. Why is our God so much better than any other God that ever was? So-called gods. Why is he so great? Because no other one could feel what you feel. All other gods were made of clay. All other gods were made of stone. Or some wee necklace you could hang about your neck. Or some wee charm. Or some wee bead. Has no feeling. Has no sensation. Has no sense of life or reality. But our God. Our God come down in the form of a man. He took on the form of a man. He was come in the form of a baby. A helpless baby in a manger. But he grew up to be a man. And when he comes back again, he will not be a helpless baby. But he comes back to this earth. We must be ready. We must be ready for his coming. You must be ready.
Right.
What does this Bible say? What will you do with Christ?
Amen.
Will you accept him or reject him? Will you accept this shepherd? Will you hear his voice? Or will you harden your heart and not listen to him? Many times will he have to call you before you listen. Listen to the good shepherd this morning. He has compassion for you. Our God is great. Our God is wonderful. Because our God has feelings. You say to me, how come? How do you say our God has feelings? Because our God has feelings. Because Isaiah says, he said he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrow and he had an acquaintance with grief. He knew what it was to lose his best friend. He knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to feel all these things. Yes, he was God in flesh, but he had feelings. No other God had feelings. No other of these great gods, these great golden images, none of these great felt false gods had feelings like this one. Because he is the God. There's no other God before him. He is the only God.
Amen.
He is the creator of the very heavens
Amen.
And earth. He is the maker of all things. It says that he holds everything in the palms of his hands. That's how good he is. But he took on him the form of man. He was acquainted with sorrow. He knew all about it. He knew when that day they come and said that his friend Lazarus was dead. It says that he wept. He had emotion. He had feeling. He fell asleep in the boat. He had emotion. He had feeling. But I want you to know when he speaks, there's also something comes forth. Because he has authority.
Amen.
When he spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. You know, I like what people said about it. He said of it, he just said, come forth. Every dead thing would have had to get up. That's how much ability he has. If he had said, get up out of the grave, all the graves would have had to open up. That's how much power our God has.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, we have this ability because he says that he gives them power. When he gathered the disciples, then it says that he gave them power over all manner of demons, over all sickness. You say, I'm powerless, I have no strength, I have no hope, I have nothing. Yes, you may have nothing in this flesh, you may have no power in this flesh, but when the anointing of God comes upon you, you have authority.
Amen.
You can speak.
That's right.
You can speak in the name of Jesus and something has to happen.
Amen.
Because his word says it.
Right.
All you have to do is accept it.
Amen.
It says here, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. That I may take it again. No other man could do it. That's why I said this when Mark sang that song, I'm glad it was the blood. No other blood could do it. It was superior blood. It was the blood of God. It was blood, God's own blood that bought you. Imagine that. No other God. Imagine any engraven image you could have went over and got dust off it or a golden image you could have scraped gold off it, but it wouldn't have done nothing. But this God shed blood for you.
Amen.
He laid down his life for you.
Amen.
He's compassion. He's a compassionate shepherd.
Amen.
He's a great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. The Bible says he's the chief shepherd.
Amen.
He's all these things. He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He had the ability. When them men come that day to arrest him in the garden, he says, I am he. And I love it. They fell backwards to the ground. That's how much authority he had when he said, I am. That's the same one that spoke to Moses. I am. The same ability. I am the good shepherd. Amen. I have no watch. The batteries lay down in her. Philip's watch the bottle lay down. Keep just tell, give me the nod. I'll try not to be too long this morning. There's no point in me spending all day here and you're not going away with nothing, only saying that bite up all day. I want you to go away with something that'll do you good. I want you to go away thinking about this compassionate shepherd, because I have thought about it all week. From as I say, I seen that there and I thought about it and I thought about it. It may seem like nothing to nobody, but it's done. I felt something from it. I thought about it. How good is our God? How great is it?
Amen.
That look at the amount of times that we would go astray, but for the mercy of God. That's what the Bible says. Don't stand and judge, because what There go I, but by the grace of God. Amen. There go I. You could look at someone and say, look at that. You could see all the faults today. But thanks be to God. It says that he doesn't look at us like the way man looks at us. He looks into the heart. He doesn't see all the flaws on the outside. He doesn't care what you look like on the outside. He doesn't care what you act like on the outside. But he's able to save you. He's able to transform you and change you into the creature that he wants you to be. These old bodies, maybe they can, but God is able to transform them. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. I want you to see something else. This here touched me when I read this too. Just the compassion that our shepherd has. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 11. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh boy. When you're at death's door or when you're in desperation, he's able to lift you up into his bosom and hold you in his arms. He'll shelter you from the blast. Anchor in his haven of rest this morning. He is the good shepherd. He says, he shall feed his flock like a good shepherd, like a shepherd. He'll feed them. He'll sustain them. He'll not see them going hungry. He'll not see them going without, but he'll take care of them.
Amen.
It also says over here in verses 29, he giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah!
Glory.
He's able.
Right.
The good shepherd. I am Amen. The good shepherd. Remember, I am.
Right.
He's taking care of you.
Amen.
It's the same one taking care of you.
Amen.
I am. He's taking care of you. It's not me. It's not anybody else.
Right.
You're not dependent on some graven image. You're not dependent on some pope in some ivory tower. But you're depending on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. That's right.
He's taking care of you this morning.
Amen.
He says, like a good shepherd, like a shepherd, he'd lift them, he'd gather up the lambs and take them into his bosom. Why, he's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Redeemer.
Amen.
We'll look here in our Bibles this morning to Matthew. Some staying on the same sort of lines of things. Matthew chapter 9. I love this here as well. Matthew chapter 9, it says about his compassion here again. Jesus had compassion for people. He had feeling for people.
Right.
You know why I love that verse? I've said it before. When he come down that day to that well, and that man had sat there for years at that place, and he said, wilt thou be healed? He said, sir, I have no man. That spoke to me, that verse. Sir, I have no man. No man to lift him and put him in the water, but there was the source of life standing there.
Amen.
The good shepherd had come. Hallelujah! The good shepherd won't see you lost or beat or stuck.
No.
But he'll lift you up.
That's right.
He needed a man to lift him and put him in the water, but he got even better than that. He'll give you more than your expectation.
That's right.
Amen.
He can give you more.
Amen.
He got healing that day. He didn't even have to get into the water.
Right.
He healed him. The
Amen.
Fountain of life was there.
Thank you, Jesus.
Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Chapter 9, verses 35. And Jesus went about all city and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every disease among the people. It's not even wonderful. Every sick, every disease, nothing's too hard for him. He's able. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. That spoke to me. He was moved with compassion. He seen the people there and he had compassion upon them. There's love in him. There's something in him. Like I said before, doesn't matter if you take a lamb and put him in a pig pen, you'll never turn him into a lamb. He hasn't got the pig's nature in him. He's got a lamb's nature. And when God takes you, you may have been like a pig, a dove, or whatever. You could have been any nature in you, but he can transform it. When you hold his unchanging hand, he can change you into the creature that he wants you to be. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. But the shepherd was there. They were scattered abroad, they were faint, they were weak, they were weary. But the good shepherd come on the scene. He seen them and he had compassion on them. You know the man that we may look at and say, look at that there, that's for nothing. He has compassion on him. There's a place for him. God can save him. God can transform him. There's no hard cases for God. They're all easy cases for him. There's no such thing as a hard case. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a fight. He is the champion. Like the man sang about the song, the champion robed in white, standing in the corner of this arena. There's a champion. He's never been defeated. I will never count him out, he said, because you couldn't count him out because he's going to come out on top every time.
Glory.
1 Peter chapter 5 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen.
The chief shepherd, he's all these things. Hebrews chapter 13 and 20 says, now the God of peace that through that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Amen.
He's all these things. The Lord is my shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. He has compassionate. He is a compassionate shepherd. Let's just come to a close this morning. I don't know what time it is, but I'll not go any longer. There's no point in going on and on. Let's just stand our feet this morning in a moment. We'll pray before we hand over to Tommy here. Oh, gracious God, Lord, we thank you this morning that you are all these things, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will encourage your people, Lord. Lord, for those cast down, Lord, I pray this morning that they will not hear the enemy's voice anymore, but they will hear the voice of the good, compassionate shepherd this morning. Let him call them, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your merciful voice, Lord. Lord, we say this morning, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee, trusting only in the blood that flowed from Calvary. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that if there be any, Lord, sick, feeble, weak, or any weary among us this morning, Lord, unsaved, Lord, that need a touch from you, Lord. Lord, I pray that the unsaved may hear the voice of the compassionate shepherd, Lord. Lord, they may hear the voice of the Savior calling them. Lord, I pray that you'll give them the saving grace. Lord, I pray that you'll give them feet to walk the right road and turn around from the path of destruction and walk onto the path of life to ever be with you, Lord, in glory. Lord, I pray, Lord, for any, Lord, that need deliverance this morning from any affliction, Lord, healing, deliverance, whatever it may be, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll touch, for your word says that you are able, Lord, to do all things, Lord. Lord, we take your word this morning, Lord, and we say, let all be well, Lord. Let us have, Lord, the confession, Lord, like that little woman, Lord, that we will say, all is well. Lord, we say, Lord, this morning, bless your people, Lord. Keep your hand upon us, Lord. Lord, we say, let thy great peace, shalom, abide upon us this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray, Lord. For the glory of God we ask it. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask your brother Gagas to sing something softly. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? I believe we've really, it's the word of the Lord this morning. Praise God. I want to give an opportunity for Samuel to pray for people. And I believe that our brother Samuel is a gift of healing. I don't say that about everybody because everybody mightn't have that gift. But I believe he is definitely that gift. Whether he even realizes it himself or not. And when God has men that he puts gifts on and women, and you need to use it.
Yeah.
And you know, I was deaf in one ear. I told you in the service, I was praying for Samuel, prayed for me, the Lord healed me. The next day it opened. I want him to pray also for Sharon this morning. She's very ill. She's a flu or something. I've never seen her as bad for a long time. You know, when we did our service last week, after that, God moved last week, you know. A very special awareness meeting. I don't know if everybody realizes that or not. But all hell broke loose since that. That's why I'm going to be praying more for people. When the enemy does that, you know you're on the right path. If it goes too smooth, it's no good. We heard about the sheep, they like to give trouble. I know all about it. But there's one thing William Branham said, you know, about a pastor or a minister. He said, when you lost the love and compassion for the people, quit the ministry. Quit. You have to have a compassion for the people. And if you could have, if you've ever went through a situation in your life, you can pray better for somebody than somebody that's never went through that, because you know what it's all about. And you can have a compassion. And sometimes the Lord lets us go through things so we can have more of a compassion when we pray for people. I believe that. And I'm going to give opportunity, our brother's just going to lead us in a song, just where it's just when 12 o'clock. We don't have to stay long. It doesn't take God long when God moves. Yes. I'm going to tell you that. We don't need 2-hour sermons. I believe myself, the message churches are preached out. That's my honest opinion. Now, people might take offense at that. If you do, I'm sorry. But that's what I believe. The hours and hours of preaching, but what's the results? Yeah. And God's prophet was told, you're taking too long. You're holding the people, you're wearing them out. God doesn't want to wear us out. He wants to bless us. Amen. Now you say, but he's a teacher. He might be a teacher, but he still doesn't need to take 3 hours. When you agree when God does it, he can do it quick. How many believes that? Maybe some of you don't believe that. Maybe you believe God needs a long time to do something. Well, I'm telling you, he doesn't. He doesn't. When we try to do it, it'll take a long time. But when God does it, it doesn't take very long. Amen? Now, the man could be led to preach longer. I'm not saying he can't be. God can do that. But everybody's not led to do it. Let's come and worship for a moment. And if you want prayer, I want you to come forward. I'm going to ask Samuel to pray for you. There's other men gifted as well. But listen, you have to respect the office of what's preaching. Did you know that? You know, William Branham said when he was on the pulpit preaching and the gift operated while he was preaching, he said that gift's out of order. That's what he said. While a minister's operating, if he's preaching, that's the order it should be. A gift can't interrupt that and take over. That's not God. That's not the Spirit of God. That's enthusiasm. Now, when we're still and a gift wants to move, that's fine. God can do that. But Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. And there has to be a God has an order. And if someone's been led as spirit at the front to pray for people, get behind it. Where you are in prayer, don't work against it. Get behind it. Amen. Let's believe this morning. There was people last week that didn't come for prayer and God wanted to touch you. But you held back a bit. You can get it this morning if you missed it. And we're going to have an hour meeting this evening, preaching on healing again. And I know maybe everybody doesn't come to every service. That's up to you how many services you come to. I can't make you come, but I want you to come. But you're here now. Take your opportunity now. If you're not going to be here this evening, here's your opportunity now. Come now. Get prayed for now. Don't miss. It doesn't matter who you are. Come and get prayed for. And I believe the Lord will touch you. And the Lord will heal you. Go ahead, brother. Just lead us in the course. God bless you as you come. Praise God.
Yeah.